And joining me this afternoon in the KRVS studios are Rudy Eisenzoff and Patricia Drury Sidman, who are here to talk about a new production of Anton Chekhov's Uncle Vanya, an actually extremely new production, not just to Lafayette, but it's a new concept of Chekhov, and in particular, this play. It's by Chekhov, but it was retranslated, rewritten, reimagined by Annie Baker, and that was actually just recently performed in the past year. So we're on the cutting edge once again in Lafayette and the world of theater, and you two are involved in this amazing production that is being put on by Acting Unlimited Incorporated. It will open this coming Thursday at Theater 810. And we were talking before we went on the air, and neither one of you all have been in a Chekhov play before.
Nope.
Had you ever been attracted to the idea of Chekhov? What did you think about Chekhov? Did you circle him, or just Rudy? Did you just not have an opportunity?
Just the opportunity was never there.
Mm-hmm. And Patricia, did you?
I actually shared the prejudice that a lot of people have, thinking Chekhov is all dark, gloomy Russian tragedy, mm-hmm. which it isn't at
Snow,
all.
Snow, the steps, you know, dark
gray.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. But I had seen a wonderful production of The Cherry Orchard at one time. So, you know, I was interested, but no opportunity came along until now.
All right. And we have this opportunity here in Lafayette, and an opportunity not only again for Chekhov, but for this very new, very remarkable reimagining of Chekhov. So what convinced you to audition for this play, Rudy?
Marie Delahousset.
You say that with such emphasis. Marie is a force.
Yeah.
She was extremely excited that Acting Unlimited would do this production. What did she talk to you about Uncle Vanya or this particular production?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. She's very passionate about everything that has to do with Acting Unlimited. Mm-hmm. And especially something like this. And you know, being an actor, when the opportunity comes along to do Chekhov or Shakespeare or anything like that, you have to jump on it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, was there something about this character and the way Marie presented it to you? Was there something about – because you play Vanya. You play mm-hmm. Uncle Vanya in this production. Was there something about him that attracted you?
I hate to say that, but we're really not that different.
It was Marie. Oh, you and Vanya. Okay.
Yeah. I mean the fact that we're both, you know, Vanya in the play is 47. I'm the same age.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The whole midlife crisis event that happens with Vanya in the play, and just that I could see him where an actor would play him as a complete sad sack, depressed, just wants to kill himself kind of guy, but that's not who he is. And I wanted to make sure that that got brought out, and hopefully I did or do.
Well, we'll talk more about Vanya in a moment, but you've used the word depressing. Patricia used the word dark. That there are these elements that one assumes are in certain characters or in Chekhov. What is it about this production? We've said that this is a reimagining, a remaking of Uncle Vanya. What did they do? What did Annie Baker do to this production?
Well, I think she went back to what Chekhov actually intended, because he saw it as a comedy. It's been performed as a tragedy over the 20th century, but he actually wrote it with an eye towards the humor in human frailties and human mistakes. And there are some very funny lines. What she did is write them in such a way that the humor would come across to a modern audience.
So Chekhov might have been really surprised for almost a century at seeing one of his plays, that they were presented in this rather depressing, dark way, that he would have felt that there was more humor than the way we've been playing it for a long time. Probably.
Maybe. He probably would have thought that would – I don't know. I can't speak for Chekhov.
I found it interesting.
But you know, he knows both are in there, because they are. In mm-hmm. life, there's both humor and tragedy. Mm-hmm. And he's a very astute observer of life.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned that she went through an interesting process to get it to this point. Describe the process that she did.
Well, as I understand it, someone else did a literal translation of the Russian, just word for word, without any regard to how it would sound in contemporary language. And then Annie Baker, who also can read Russian, took that literal translation and reshaped it with phrasing that would mean something the same to a modern ear rather than an ear from the 19th century. So she's trying to capture the original character the way the Russian was written.
And interestingly, both of you commented that even though she has retranslated and reworked it, just reading the words on page don't quite bring it to the level that it's acclaimed for, that it's actually taking it off the page and running with it and acting those words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The comedy is in the absurdity of the situation that they've put themselves in. It's not anything that just happened to them. They have created this circumstance that they're in, and that's what's funny.
Well, let's talk about that circumstance. It's obviously called Uncle Vanya, so it is focused on your character, Rudy.
I don't know if it's actually focused on my character. Okay. It's you know how you say when a house guest comes, they stink after so many days. Well, that's kind of what's happening.
So you've arrived
here
on the scene.
They're in my house.
They're in your house.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, for those people in our audience who don't know the story of Uncle Vanya, can you just kind of give us a little sketch?
Uncle Vanya is they live on a Russian estate, country estate, and his father bought this estate, and it was to be a dowry for Vanya's sister. Well, his sister married this professor from Moscow. His sister passed away, and now the professor and his new wife have come to the estate to live.
Ah.
And comedy ensues.
So Uncle Vanya is ensconced at the estate.
Yeah.
And he has to be extracted in order for them to live, or just live in communion with this couple. That is not determined.
I don't want to give too much away.
All right.
So it's
but they're all there.
Yes.
Vanya and his niece and his mother, whom I play, and a permanent house guest and a maid, and then the professor and his new wife.
Well, and don't forget about Waffles.
And then,
Waffles, whose uncle actually owned the estate before.
Originally.
Yeah.
Is that a direct translation from the Russian Waffles? Is that what he was called?
He was called something pejorative
something,
that comes across like this. And then there is the character of Dr. Astrov, who is the one that Chekhov himself identified with, who is the doctor to these people and comes and goes and has been a fixture for a while and also plays a role in these events.
Yes, and the first actor to play Dr. Astrov was Stanislavski.
The famous, the method of.
Yeah.
Well, now Chekhov actually was a doctor. He was trained as a doctor.
Yeah, he grew up dirt poor. 3 years prior to the serfs being emancipated, his grandfather purchased their way out of serfdom. He paid his way through the university by writing short stories and became a doctor and did amazing and wonderful things for the people of Russia.
So he had a very close opportunity to observe all different levels of society in Russia, having come from serfs and working as a doctor and then moving in higher artistic circles.
And his view of the class that these people are is what makes this
so funny.
Well,
let's address this humor. Humor, you mentioned that you have a great cast that does humor really well, but that a lot of this comes out of the language and the situation. So describe that. What makes it funny to you all?
Well, these are people that are constantly complaining about not having money, but they live in a 26-room mansion.
So their perspective is slightly absurd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how do they express this? You're the mother, so you must be a real big part of this expressing.
Oh, I'm pretty much an airhead.
Your character is called Maria.
Maria.
So you're Vanya's mother and the deceased sister's mother.
But and in addition, totally enamored of the intellectual world of Moscow and just pretty much trying to hang on to that even if I do live out in the country.
She was the wife of a senator.
Yeah.
Vanya's father was a senator.
Okay.
And so from the upper classes of Moscow still in her mind, she's still there.
And are you on the side of your once son-in-law who is the professor?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. You want to retain that air of not just aristocracy but of scholarliness.
And, intellectual stimulation.
Okay. And is Vanya on the other side?
Yeah.
That was a pause.
By the time we get to this play, yeah.
Yeah.
But not his whole life.
I mean, and there's another little kink in here, too, when it comes to Yelena.
Okay.
Which is the professor's wife.
The new wife, of course.
Very young, beautiful, smart.
Who has come into Uncle Vanya's domain.
Attractive.
Uncle Vanya's domain.
Does.
Astrov's domain. The professor's domain.
This sounds like
not
this,
the country.
This sounds like this has been fun for you all, the whole process of
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
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 Now, has your sense of the story evolved from the beginning? You've been working on this, rehearsing it for, what, about 3 months now?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, about that.
Yeah, yeah, since early mm-hmm. November.
How has your sense of the story evolved? Because you said there are complexities to it and that you're always unearthing new meanings.
Yeah, I mean, my view of Vanya from the beginning to the end has evolved from, you know, just thinking that this was a guy going through a midlife crisis to the fact that it's much deeper than that. You know, this man, he sacrificed a lot to take care of this property, to take care of his family, his mother, and essentially to take care of the professor. And he gets to the point where he doesn't feel appreciated. And then it blows up. It blows up. It's kind of like when you have somebody that you admire that lives a distance away, and as long as they stay that distance, it's okay to keep admiring them. But when you get to actually meet them and realize they're not who you thought they were.
And they might be living on your little island of a Russian
exactly.
estate.
Mm-hmm. You know, kind of lose the color there.
Sort of like a Russian Gilligan's Island. I don't know. Yeah. As you were describing
that. Well, I mean, you could think of it that way because they're out in the country.
The professor, the beautiful wife.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there are some of the same characters.
He was a precursor. And if you are tuning in, we are talking about Chekhov's play, Uncle Vanya, which is one of a handful of plays that is in continual production around the world. Mm-hmm. Chekhov died in his 40s, I believe, but created an amazing body of work, including short stories, as you said, sometimes called the father of the short story.
Short story, yeah.
And these plays, including Uncle Vanya, that are continuing to be produced. But this production is a new version by Annie Baker, and we are getting to see that here in Lafayette. My guests, Rudy Eisenzoff and Patricia Jury Sidman, are acting in the play. And so you've described yourself as kind of an airhead, but do you find that the alliances keep shifting throughout the play?
Oh, absolutely.
So
I was being facetious.
Okay.
I mean, there's every relationship is got some complexity to it. And we are still discovering. I mean, just last night, Jason Petijan, who plays Astroff, said, I just figured out why he's mad in this one scene.
Why he's mad.
Why he's angry. Mm-hmm. And we've read this thing dozens of times, mm-hmm. and we're still discovering, and I'm still discovering who Maria is and what it is that's motivating her in each scene. How she relates to Vanya, what she thinks about. We changed the relationship
yeah.
between Vanya and Maria about 2 weeks ago when it dawned on both of us that we'd missed something. So this is all in the text. It's all there. Chekhov had all of this. It's taking us time to realize everything he was aware of.
I was going to say it's like that. In the very first scene of the first act, Vanya says to the effect that ever since the professor and his spouse moved here, things have gone totally haywire. And then at the very end of the play, Astroff says things have got back to normal. So everything that happens is not normal. And it's...
Boy, is it ever not normal.
It's not normal.
Throughout the play until you finally get to the conclusion,
yeah, there
it's
is,
just
it's,
not normal.
There are some very insane things that happen.
Because of the collection of personalities and hopes and dreams that are all collected on this
yeah.
estate during this time. So what is it that, and I think people who are not actors, who don't participate in theater, find that unusual, what you're describing of coming to understand something new this late in the rehearsal process to the point where you can change a certain relationship. Where does that come from? Is it your director? Is it just saying the lines so many times that you have a revelation? How does that happen?
A lot of times an actor will say a line a different way than what they've said in the previous rehearsals, and that makes something click into your response to them.
And, so a different expression in the voice, or
You start, like we started to feel the energy of a scene and said, something doesn't feel right here. Mm-hmm. What else is in here? And start asking questions. And then, oh, maybe if. And we do it a different way and it clicks.
Well, it's like in the beginning, you're getting used to the words. You're getting the words in your mouth so that you're getting off book. And once that happens and you can start really playing with the language is when you really start to make the discoveries.
And Walter Brown is directing the play. How much interaction does the director – what is Walter's experience? He's not here to tell us. but this is a very, very new production. It's kind of experimental. How has his response and relationship been to
the play?
Well,
he's a very experienced director. Mm-hmm. And what he did wonderfully was keep – drawing out the motivation every little step. You know, why would he say that? Why would he do that? What do you think's going on when she walks over there? Why would she pick that up? He would just ask those questions and make us think more deeply about what was happening in each scene. He's very good at pinpointing all the little minutiae and nuances that are happening, even with the minor characters.
Really creating a very three-dimensional experience that it's not just flat. You don't just repeat the words that you're given on a page, but that there are so many things behind it.
Yeah. I mean, and he's the kind of he had a vision in the beginning of where he wanted the play to go. And he would direct us towards that goal. But Walter's so good at making discoveries within the play itself and then changing the direction. And a lot of times that's where we've noticed these changes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is a process of discovery for all of you. Even though Walter is an extremely experienced director, this is a very, very new version of Uncle Vanya, not one that many directors have worked with before.
Yeah, I don't know how many.
Maybe only
one or two.
One or two.
Yeah. It opened last June, I think.
Yeah.
So extremely new.
Plus, he's very good at just letting his cast discover things and saying, well, let's try it. And then if it works, it works. And you know, he does do a collaborative development process, even though he does have the vision and knows what he's doing.
Well, let's mention that cast. You mentioned one other, Jason Petitjean, but who are the other cast members who are playing the major roles?
Jessica Juklar is playing Yelena, the wife of the professor, and Doc Wiltz is playing Sarah Bryakov, the professor. Debbie Arduin plays Marina, who's the housekeeper and nanny who holds everybody down onto the planet. Steve Benelli plays a character named Telyagin, whose family originally owned this land and who still lives there. And then we had a cast change. Another major character is Sonia, Vanya's niece, that was originally going to be played by Leslie Ann Whitman, but she had to drop out due to illness, and Elaine Kibidoe has picked up that role and done
amazingly
beautifully with it. I mean, she only had a few days' notice, and she's ready to go.
Yeah.
And the niece, this is the daughter of the professor and your sister.
Right.
Correct.
You're right.
Okay.
It's the professor's daughter, right. Maria's granddaughter.
Sounds like she plays a very key role.
Yeah. So you have the dynamic of Vanya and Yelena, Astroff and Yelena, Vanya and Astroff, Vanya and the professor, Yelena and Sonia and Astroff. Sonia, you can't.
I think we're going to need a chalkboard here with a diagram.
Pretty much.
This always happens with Russian stories.
Well, and that's the other thing that's good about this play. The only way you can really tell that it's Russian is, well, the fact that it's written by Chekhov, but is the names.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Take the names out, and you would swear it was, you know, made here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the story is it's timeless.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think probably if you go to New York, you could probably see a Chekhov play at any time.
Yeah.
There's probably one running all the time that, yes, those are timeless relationships and timeless expressions of desire and greed and jealousy and all of the basic human emotions.
And it's kind of emerging here. I understand UL is going to do a production of The Cherry Orchard pretty soon. So we've got a couple of Chekhov things emerging here, too.
The Year of Chekhov in Lafayette. Mm-hmm. Well, you all are opening Uncle Vanya this Thursday at Theater 810. How long will it run?
Well, it runs and actually we're doing a show on Wednesday.
Okay. Is this an open dress rehearsal or is
– Well, it's kind of like that. It's going to be a pay-what-you-can kind of show.
Preview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Because we've had some requests from some actors involved in other performances that are happening at the same time that they'd like to see it. So that's going to be Wednesday. It runs through – Saturday with a Sunday matinee, and then next Thursday through Saturday.
Okay, so 2 weekends, basically, mm-hmm. you have mm-hmm. to see this. And when you mentioned the pay what you can, I'm sure that's a great evening for students to go and see the play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Any high school or college students.
Mm-hmm. This actually would be a great thing for students to see, so mm-hmm. they can get a whole new perspective on Chekhov.
Well, Chekhov is often in their anthologies,
yeah.
Both in high school and college. So tomorrow evening, there's a pay-as-you-can. What time does that start?
7:30.
And do you need to reserve a ticket?
No, I don't think so.
Just show up
so,
tomorrow
probably
evening.
Probably wouldn't be a bad idea to give a call.
Okay.
The number is 484-0172. Just in case, and it's a small theater, so just in case there's more people than we can accommodate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So and they can also go on the AUI Vanya. Eventbrite.com.
And you can order
tickets.
And
you can order tickets through there.
Okay. And so the formal opening will be on Thursday evening,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
it will run through the weekend. Only about 50 seats, so it is really a good idea to call ahead.
Yeah.
That place has been sold out often. So this is for Uncle Vanya. It's by Chekhov, but this is a new version by Annie Baker that only opened in this country in the summertime, in June. And it is being produced here in Lafayette by Acting Unlimited Incorporated. My guests are in the play. Rudy Eisenzoff is playing Vanya, and Patricia Drury Sidman is Maria, the mother. So I want to address just this humor again, because you both said that initial reactions to Chekhov or something Russian can be that it's long, it's all the things that people might respond to. So what is it that you found the funniest about your character or the play, Patricia?
Well, I started discovering that some of it is sarcasm, and you don't necessarily see that in the page, mm-hmm. on the page. Mm-hmm. But then if you realize that there's something really ironic, I mean, saying, I'll be subtle, and then 2 seconds later blurting something out. Well, that's funny. But when you just read it, it doesn't immediately strike
show.
You. It's when you see the contrast in what people say and what they do. Sarcasm, when it's not really a serious response, it's actually quite sarcastic. And then there's a lot of throwing dirty looks around. I get to do a lot of that.
Which doesn't show up on the page.
Doesn't show up on the page, but it tells you what's happening.
So that's one of your strategies in the play.
Yes.
Yes, dirty looks. And does Maria have a lot of sarcasm, or she just has sort of an attitude?
More of an attitude. Some of the other characters get more of the sarcasm, mm-hmm. unfortunately. I love mm-hmm. to do that. But
she spends a lot of time trying to ground Vanya. And is not very successful at it.
Trying to get him to snap out of it.
And so snap out of what? What is your
– His midlife crisis.
Well, I'm jealous of the professor because of the fact that he's a professor, and it's something that I probably could have done if I hadn't sacrificed everything to take care of this home, and I'm not getting thanked by anybody, and everybody thinks the professor's just this wonderful, great guy, and I know he's not, but, you know, I got to play along. I'm in love with this very young woman, at least superficially at first. And, you know, it's never going to happen because I'm old. I'm 47. I'm very old and I'm very poor. And I live in this 26-room mansion and life is just terrible. And I just don't know what to do with myself.
And we can see your mother has her work cut out
yeah.
to try and get you out of this. So what's funny about your character? Where does the humor come in?
I think it's also in the sarcasm.
Okay, and your responses.
Yeah,
and
the relationship that Jason and I have developed with Astrov and Vanya is, to me, one of the best relationships that I formed in a play yet.
Now, he is not the professor.
No, he plays Dr. Astrov.
Dr. Astrov, okay.
And just the banter that we have, the relationship that we have, it's – you can tell they've been best friends for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And our scenes are hilarious.
They get drunk together. They blurt out stuff they wouldn't say otherwise. They
yeah.
are wonderful together.
All right. And does this so who says the line, everything's all right, everything's back to normal? Is that
That's
the professor?
Astrov in the beginning.
That's
yeah.
Astrov. Okay.
Yeah. And just
– we can hear the weight in your voice. I'm sure people are hearing your pain here.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of it, and the comedy is in that,
mm-hmm.
into
mm-hmm.
watching somebody else's pain, especially mm-hmm. this ridiculous pain that this man has brought on himself. And it's exactly what – no one has done this to him. It's all in his head. It's just mm-hmm. – he's crazy.
So do you feel that the audience – well, it's hard to say. You haven't opened yet, but is – Do you know much about how audiences have responded to this Vanya? Is there sympathy for this now that the language is more colloquial, a little more understandable?
I would say no.
No, they don't understand you better.
No, I mean, I'm hoping that when they see this, mm-hmm. yeah, by the end of the play, they'll have sympathy for me. Okay. They'll understand where I'm coming from. But if I do my job,
mm-hmm. the journey will be rocky.
Yeah. If I do my job, they'll see why I go mm-hmm. off the edge.
They'll understand.
Yeah.
And do you feel what happens to Maria in her journey, her process?
She's just, you know, she
Does
needs
she
for Vanya to take care of this land because otherwise she
can't do it herself.
She can't do it herself, and she's so it's a one big long snap out of it.
She's got to get him to that end point
and just get through it, but not really get her feet entirely on the ground. Just, you know, keep the roof over my head, give me my tea, have a little food, and stop fussing, and we'll be fine. But these are such human characters, I think, to the extent that the audience can recognize themselves. And it's almost impossible not to, because there's so much humanity
in at least
each
one
character.
Of those characters.
It starts to get funny because you're laughing at yourself. Mm-hmm. You're laughing. You've made the same mistake. You've done the same dumb things at some point.
Well, this sounds like a great opportunity for people to encounter Russian literature, or perhaps to return to it if you've thought it has been a little dark before. This is Annie Baker's version of Anton Chekhov's Uncle Vanya. It will open in Lafayette this Thursday. Actually, tomorrow evening, pay as you can. Mm-hmm. Great, again, for students and people who need to pay as they can. That's tomorrow at 7:30, and then it will run Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then there will be a Sunday matinee this weekend. You can go to the website, the Eventbrite website, or you can call Theater 810 for availability of tickets. Well, Uncle Vanya, we look forward to getting you to the end of that process and enjoying the humor along the way. My guest, Rudy Eisenzoff, plays Vanya in Uncle Vanya, and Patricia Drury Sidman is playing Maria, the mother in Uncle Vanya. This is by Acting Unlimited Incorporated, and we'll be at Theater 810. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Rebecca Hudsmith, filmmaker Pat Meir, and filmmaker Phil Como, joining me this afternoon to talk about the 9th Annual Cinema on the Bayou Film Festival, which begins tomorrow here in Lafayette. And Phil Como is a native of Nova Scotia and has been making films for many, many years. His film will open the festival, and there will be a retrospective of his films throughout the festival this week in various venues. So we're so glad to have you here this afternoon. Just to say the 9th Annual, you all are rounding up on a decade of Cinema on the Bayou. That's pretty amazing. And you've worked hard and made it better and better each year. I know that you have brought in more filmmakers, more films, included different venues that really make it easier for people to participate in the film festival.
That's right.
So you've worked extremely hard, and people feel the result of that, and they're always so happy when the festival comes around. So, Rebecca, you've got this lovely little postcard that you all have put together that has the entire schedule on it. And
yes.
I know a lot of people are very grateful.
Amazingly, you will need a microscope to see it, but because we have so much going
there.
On. More than almost 40 films, about 60 events, and about 30 filmmakers in from Montreal, Moncton, Paris, L.A., all over Texas.
New York, all over.
Yeah. Nova Scotia. Did you say that?
Nova Scotia. We could not leave out Nova Scotia.
So let's, what is the, and I know every year we talk about this, but I think, you know, a lot of people really need to be reminded of the mission of this particular festival. What is your focus, and what are you hoping to really give to this community with this festival, Pat?
Well, we do have a clear mission statement. It's evolved a bit, and we have some great partnerships that we have going on that makes us really a unique film festival in the United States. I mean, there's no film festival like this where we have partnered with so many people like the National Film Board of Canada and New Brunswick and the French Consul General, not just in New Orleans but in New York City, and you know, a true distributor out of Montreal. Those things are special because films that come here can get picked up, English language films, and so that's special coming
mm-hmm.
here. So.
What is the importance of having those kinds of relationships with those film boards? And because again, for us lay people who don't really move around in that world, what is the value of that, especially for the kinds of films that we're talking about?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at the schedule, you're looking at about 90%, at least 90% of the films are. For sure, Louisiana premieres, but we have U.S. premieres and a couple of world premieres. But the U.S. premieres are important to us. You know, people coming in like Phil Como. I mean, just a world-class filmmaker, a dear friend of mine personally for a long time, but a true submission into Cinema on the Bayou, and it has not played here. And I'm getting ahead of myself with Phil, I guess, but I wanted to talk about that. The opening night film is. It's just an amazing film, and I've seen a lot of horse jockey films, but this film is so special for so many reasons. The jockey himself, who's still living, Ron Turcot, is Cadien, you know, so we have a lot of...
Cadien là-bas.
Là-bas, de Nord. And, I've been wanting to get Phil down here for our festival for years and years, and this film fit right. And it really is. It's a beautifully designed film by a beautiful filmmaker, and mm-hmm. we're lucky to have him here.
And we'll be talking more specifically about that film. It's called Secretariat's Jockey, Ron Turcot. But I guess I ask that question, too, because films like Phil's are ones that us, again, people who don't work in that world may not encounter so easily.
Right.
And your film festival and your connections are such a resource to us so that we are able to encounter both filmmakers and films that might not show up on our Netflix. You know, we
that's
just
right.
Pop it
well,
open.
That's true. And, mm-hmm. and even more so than just a lot of the films that do come to Lafayette, they've already finished the festival circuit.
Mm-hmm.
So they've already, you know, it's something you can get on demand or whatever. But the majority of these films are not only first time here in Louisiana or in Lafayette, because you can't play this festival if you play it Acadiana. It's is that you're having an opportunity. We just have one that's playing tonight on PBS. We have an amazing amount of films, alums that have come here and opened in New York City, placed nationally across our America and United States, I mean PBS and such. So you get to see them like we did with Numberlees, for example, coming back again. The Numberlees is opening up. It's the first film festival they play, and they will play. This is Moonbot Studios. They will play Cannes and everywhere else, but they're playing Lafayette first, and I'm honored. We the film before that won an Academy Award, we gave them an audience award 1 year before it was nominated and won the Academy Award. So it's really an honor to have them back as an official entry. This is an official selection. So it's big.
Of course, you're talking about William Joyce's studio.
Yeah. The fantastic flying books of Mr. Lesmore.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So, yes, people, you all have made a name for yourself, and filmmakers and are submitting films here, and we're all the richer for it here in this community that
I
we get to
so.
See them. Again, if you are just tuning in, we're talking about the 9th Annual Cinema on the Bayou Film Festival. It opens tomorrow evening at the Acadiana Center for the Arts with a special showing, a Louisiana premiere, of my guest Phil Como's Secretariat's jockey, Ron Turcott. In addition to that film, they are going to be doing retrospective of many of your films, Phil. So welcome to South Louisiana.
Thank you.
Is this your first time in South Louisiana?
No, actually it's my fifth or sixth. I first came maybe almost 30 years ago, and the last time, it's been a while since I've not been here. It was about 8 years ago, a few months before Katrina. So and then obviously I watched Katrina on TV on CNN for a month, mm-hmm. but so it's been a while. I've not been here, but mm-hmm. I'm staying all week, and next week I'm making a vacation out of it. My brother's coming down from Nova Scotia. And I'm going to be giving him a tour.
Him a tour
of
Louisiana. Well, why did you come down for the first time? Were you visiting cousins, some Comos from here?
I was curious because Louisiana is always – it's in the psychic of Acadians in the north. Louisiana, mm-hmm. we know our cousins are here. We know we're of the same blood. We have the same history. So we are raised right off saying, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. half of our culture is in Louisiana. So we know – And everybody in Nova Scotia and New Brunswick and mm-hmm. always dreams of coming to Louisiana. And I travel a lot, so I was able to come quite early.
When you came to Louisiana for the first time, were you already a filmmaker? Had you been making films?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I had actually one film playing called Les Gossipeuses that I had already done. It was a comedy. I didn't bring it with me under my arm. I should have, but it's going to play this week. It's a comedy on gossip, which is pretty popular in rural areas, gossiping.
Great film.
And was that filmed up in
It was filmed in Nova Scotia, okay. That one, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what was your reaction to Louisiana the first time you came?
Oh, my God, you're going far 30 years ago.
Well, you've had many different experiences since then.
Yes, but I guess the biggest difference is there's a little less French, mm-hmm. spoken mm-hmm. French. Mm-hmm. There was more of that then than there is now, but the culture is the same. Nothing changed in terms of music, in terms of the energy around the music, the energy around the food, around
mm-hmm. La chaleur des gens.
La chaleur des gens, mm-hmm. de laisser le bon temps rouler, the people are really friendly. That doesn't change. So everything's the same. It's just a language that isn't as around mm-hmm. as it was. Hopefully with immersion schools and everything, it'll come back. I know there's a revival happening.
Yes, there's quite a rising group
absolutely.
Of young people who speak French. Here.
Yes, and you'll see a lot of them Thursday and Friday, too.
Yes.
Tomorrow night, too.
And a lot of them who do make the trip to Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and really like that connection with the people.
Mm-hmm.
So you make both documentary and narrative fiction
and
films.
Drama, yes.
Yes. Do you have a preference, or do you move no, easily
No, actually,
between?
I've directed maybe 100 films, but I do half and half. Actually, mm-hmm. it's almost 50-50. Mm-hmm. of each. So, and I like them both. I like drama. I like telling stories, but I also like documentary because then the characters tell the story. You know where you're going when you're shooting it. You hope you're going to go there, but you have surprises that in drama you don't have. In drama, everything's written mm-hmm. prior. Mm-hmm. The actors learn their lines and you can't really move too much around that. But in documentary, you can re-edit your story. In editing, you can You know, there's a, you could shoot a documentary and edit it 10 different ways, which is wonderful. So I like that art form.
Well, with your narrative fiction, is there a place you go for inspiration? Is there a kind of a common thread to your stories that you tell with your fiction films, or are they varied?
They're varied, diverse? I talk about a whole bunch of stuff. Some are comedies, some are children's films. Like this week at the retrospective, there's a children's film called Le Tapis de Grand Pré, The Hooked Rug of Grand Pré for the family. There's a comedy called Les Gossipes we spoke of earlier. There's a Le Secret de Jérôme, which is a feature-length film, which was the first Acadian feature-length film shot in Nova Scotia.
Who reminds me, I'm cutting in, that you introduced me to Miriam Cyr, who was in a film I did, and that goes back way
the
back.
Actress.
One of your trips to Lafayette back in the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm. I think
which
it
is I think it's a great film, too. That plays at Vermilionville, Secret of Jerome's Secret.
Yeah, that one did very well. It did something like 15 awards around the world, in Europe, in the U.S. actually, in a few places. And then what's the fourth film? Oh, La Saguine. She's a storyteller. She's like an icon in Acadia, northern Acadia. And she talks directly to the audience, to the camera, and she does monologues. And it's this actress who's incredible, who's almost 80 years old today, that I filmed many of her monologues, because she's been doing it at the theater. She's done over 4,000 times. She's like an icon. She's a Order of Canada. She, name it. She's gotten every award an actress can get in Canada. And so we have that one playing called The Census, and it's all about the Acadian identity. And she talks about Louisiana in that monologue, which is wonderful. And I guess that's why it was selected, probably, one of the reasons.
Well, how many of your films will be shown during the
Six altogether.
Six altogether.
Yeah. The opening night tomorrow night, and which is my brand new one. And then
Frederick
Back on an animation filmmaker who recently died, unfortunately.
Which is barely a retro, by the way. That's two submitted films that we have over here in competition.
Yeah. Yeah, it's less than a year old. And actually, Frederick Back won two Oscars for animated films. One I'm sure everybody knows of. It's called The Man Who Planted Trees. And the other one is Cracked. And he's an incredible person. He's an ecologist. He's really – he loves nature, loves animals. He really – he worked all of his life – in his private life and in his films, all of his films show the beauty of nature.
And we lost him just a few weeks back, so it's just his spirit will be here in Lafayette, which is, I think, really special.
Well, again, I want to let people know that my guest is Phil Como. He is a filmmaker from Canada based in Montreal. His new film, Secretariat's Jockey, Ron Turcotte, will be shown for the opening of the 9th Annual Cinema on the Bayou Film Festival. Now, I know in Canada, the Film Board of Canada has been extremely supportive of filmmakers. We're quite enamored of this wonderful, lively film climate now that's now in Louisiana, but that's existed in Canada for quite a while. There's been a lot of support and encouragement for young filmmakers.
Yes, the Film Board exists like 52 years, I think, now or something. And it exists in the Maritimes, in Acadian Maritimes now for, I think it's 30. Actually, I was there when it started, so it's almost 40 years. So that was an incredible opportunity for young Acadian filmmakers to be able to do films. And obviously, I've done 8 or 9 films with them. But they tend to help young filmmakers, and then they say, okay, you've done a few films now. Good luck. And they kick you in the butt.
Push the bike off.
As it should be.
So tomorrow night's film is a National Film Board film, which is wonderful because I hadn't shot anything with them for 25 years. And obviously it was great to come back to them because it's almost like it's a full circle because my first Acadian film was with them, which is nice.
But how wonderful that you say they're really supportive of young filmmakers. I mean, Pat knows what a struggle it was in
of
the
course.
Early days,
yeah,
and
course.
So many young people here who would love to tell their stories. There's so many interesting stories here, but that it's very hard to get started.
Right. Well, to have, you know, and to his credit, and they've been supporters of ours. This is how Cinema on the Bayou started, with the National Film Board of Canada flying a U.S. premiere and Andre Gladue into town. We wouldn't have had Cinema on the Bayou 1 if it wouldn't be for that. But the National Film Board of Canada, to have them producing anyone's work is a huge honor. So to have Phil Como and the National Film Board of Canada with opening night film, that is so world class. I'm telling you, it's two great, great athletes. We're talking about Secretariat and the jockey.
And the jockey. Well, they're obviously extremely committed to film and supporting young filmmakers like yourself and so many others. And what an example to all of us here to see these films and to hear you and meet you for many of them. So your film, Secretariat's Jockey, will be shown for the opening tomorrow. It's at 6:30, I believe,
yes,
at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. For those of us who don't know Ron Turcotte, can you tell us just a little bit about him?
40 years ago, he won the Triple Crown. The Triple Crown is three races. It's the hardest thing to win in the horse racing milieu anywhere in the world because it's every 2 weeks, so it's very tiring for the horse. You have to win with the same horse and the same jockey. And it's the Kentucky Derby first, then it's in Baltimore, Maryland, and then you have to win in New York at Belmont Park. And if you win all three, then you get the Triple Crown. And it's only been won three times in 65 years, in the last 65 years. It's been won by an American, Steve Cotton, on the horse Affirmed. It's been won by Jean Cruguet on Seattle Slough, and Ron Turcotte, which is an Acadian, on Secretariat. And, of course, Secretariat is well known because the Walt Disney came out with a film maybe 4 years ago on Secretariat, but it was mostly based on the owner of Secretariat, Penny Chenery, who was played by Lane. And she's in the film. She's live in the film. She's 90 today, and she's full of energy, and she loves so Ron meets her. He hasn't seen her in many years, so they meet. He also meets the other two Triple Crown winners. He meets a whole bunch of his old friends, and we follow him. It's like a road movie. He leaves from New Brunswick and goes to his three old racing areas. There's also a scene with Sean Sellers. He's from Irat. He's a jockey from Irat.
Irat.
And they're great friends, and you can see it. And he's in two scenes with him, and so it's fun. It's been very well received, the film in Canada. It's already won a People's Choice Award, an Audience Award, and people really enjoy it. It's people cry, people laugh. There's funny scenes also.
I think people here would be very curious about the horse culture there. We know that there's quite a lively one here, and many jockeys have come from South Louisiana. But I think some people might have been surprised to think that someone is New Brunswick. Does there a horse culture there?
Yes, there is. Unfortunately, there's no horse track left, no racing track left. In Canada, something happened in the last few years. We have the Formule 1 in Montreal, so that closed down that track. But there's still a big, big track in Trois-Rivières, which is in between Montreal and in Quebec. So there's still some Canadian racers racing there, racing in Toronto, and in certain places in the U.S. There are some Canadian racers, jockeys. There's not as many horses in the fields, as you can see here, but obviously here they're not all racehorses either. But because Canada is so cold in the winter, you really got to heat
you can't
heat
race
barns.
All year. Yes.
You got to heat the barns and put the horses in the barns for quite a few months. So it's a little harder. But I was raised with a lot of horses in my area. We used to have many before tractors and before we would use them on the farms and whatnot. But
well, interesting perhaps to get a whole bunch of Cajun and Acadian jockeys together perhaps and talk about their memories. But tomorrow evening at the ACA, you can see the film about Ron Turcotte, who is from New Brunswick. He's Acadian, and he did win the Triple Crown with Secretariat, and my guest Phil Como is the filmmaker who created that film. It's his new film and will be shown at the film festival.
It opens opening night. I would recommend, too, Judith, that people get their tickets at ACA early. Traditionally, we sell out opening night. I don't know how they're doing right now, but I know there's a lot of people going to be there.
So call
now.
They're
at the door. Mm-hmm. They're at the door as well, but you may want to secure your tickets in advance.
I think there's only about 300 seats in the theater.
Right.
So, call ahead.
This is the first year. They just recently have the first year they're in true HD. ACA had not been in true HD, but it's true HD, full-blown. And so it looks good. Phil's film is so well designed. The post production sound, you're gonna love the music soundtrack. But you're gonna those hooves pounding in the ground, the way it was shot.
You'll be
the
there.
Archival footage of Secretariat. what they did with the sound, it was just It's moving. It's very special.
Well, that's tomorrow evening, 6:30. It opens. You can get your tickets now by calling the ACA. You could wait for the door, but you might want to call ahead to be sure. My guests are Rebecca Hudsmith, Pat Meir, and Phil Como. So, Rebecca, that opens the film festival, but then it's a race the rest of the week.
There talk about a race.
Several different venues. So maybe tell us kind of how the days will go.
Sure.
The opening involves Phil's film and a reception, and then what happens the rest of the week?
Thursday, we start with our Vaudevillian French language film series, which will include several of Phil's films. And also, we have a number of films from Videograph, which is a distribution company in Montreal. And we have, Judith, Felix, Maxime, just to name a few. We have a number of French filmmakers coming in from Montreal. They will be there live in person. And in fact, today we just left the airport where we picked up four delightful young filmmakers from New Moncton. Very young.
They're very excited.
They are so happy to be here. Their film is also showing Thursday at Vermilionville, Aller Retour.
And they're sponsored by the New Brunswick Film Commission.
Right. So. And they said they put English subtitles on their film just because their goal was to get down here to Louisiana to show
True
it.
True Blu-ray.
You're inspiring young filmmakers.
And they are here. And, of course, they adore Phil Como. Yeah. He is
their idols,
mentor,
sure.
Idol. And so we're going to have tons of folks speaking French.
And that will be at Vermilionville.
At Vermilionville.
Also, the Parisian filmmaker who we have to pick up in a little while, who's coming in too, with Le Train Bleu. She's a special guest for Thursday.
From the French Consul General and those folks with the French government are supporting her her visit to us. She is has a beautiful film that will show on Thursday. And then Friday.
On Thursday, all of the French films are subtitled in English.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So a great opportunity for those people who do want to practice their French, but all of the films are accessible.
Yes, yes. For Shreveporters like me who, you know, didn't study it as well as we should have in school.
Oh, but shame on you.
I know. I'm working on it.
Good.
Then Thursday, we go back to Vermilionville Friday, and we're going to have Warehouse on Chapatulas, which is a film about the warehouse. Pat knows about it from
my hippie days. Yeah.
His hippie days.
First rock concert. The
we're going to have the Blues Conundrum, more music. These are music films.
Out of Dallas.
We're going to have a band from Dallas, the Blues Conundrum Band, and Boss Klass, and it's going to be wild and crazy. Plus, we're going to have some environmental films at Pack and Paddle, along with you know, lots of fun. You know, they're
and that's
great
all on
folks.
Friday.
That's all on Friday. So you can go and see the wonderful documentaries and some French language films on Friday too, or you can go to Pack and Paddle and then come over and enjoy the music afterwards. And then Saturday, my gosh,
all day long.
Starting
does that go back to the ACA on Saturday?
ACA yeah. mm-hmm. Saturday and Sunday. All day into the night, and we are going to have a wonderful film about everybody's beloved Robert Dafford, who mm-hmm. it's about the impact his murals have had on a community in Ohio. And we
in
once
world,
you see this film, you will really appreciate Robert in a way. We all do.
He is so eloquent in here.
You'll look at his murals in a different way.
But the whole afternoon, Saturday, is going to be fiction, fiction, fiction. And we have a narrative feature.
Vino Veritas.
Vino Veritas from Sarah Knight, who will be here. She's an alum. That evening, after Phil's wonderful documentary on Frederick Bach, we have 45 RPM. And then once again, Boss Klass.
Sunday, too.
And then, as if that's not enough, Sunday, start in the morning, more films, and ending with This Ain't No Mouse Music.
It's a heck of a film. It's a strong, strong documentary film I'm cutting in just to say, because the filmmakers will be here. Chris.
Simon.
Yeah, I'm talking about Chris Simon and you know Maureen and Chris. They worked with Les Blank for years. Well, they're the filmmakers are flying in. We flew in, flying in today from Los Angeles. But the film itself, Chris, its own.
It's on Arhuli Records.
And they won a Grammy. I mean, they nominated for a Grammy. Right. So they can
and
be with,
musicians will be there as well
and,
for that.
Yeah. And Savoy, yes. And Michael Savoy. Ducey, okay. Wilson will be there.
Michael Ducey. Wilson.
So many reasons to attend this film festival. but I can imagine that there will be people just camped out the entire week. Starting Wednesday, they're just going to give themselves over to film. If you have just tuned in, we're talking about the 9th Annual Cinema on the Bayou Film Festival. My guests, Rebecca Hudsmith and filmmaker Pat Muir, began this festival, have just made it better and better each year, and they are honoring Phil Como, a filmmaker from Canada, based in Montreal, but originally from Nova Scotia. His new film, Secretariat's Jockey, will open the festival tomorrow, and there will be a retrospective of a number of his films throughout the festival. Tickets are available for tomorrow evening. I'm sure people will wonder, do I need tickets for the rest of the festival?
We have day passes, and the tickets are available through ACA. On Saturday and Sunday, it's pretty safe to go come to the door and get your tickets.
Okay.
But we have big crowds. Year before last, we had 1,300 people that came through in Saturday afternoon.
So maybe get your
and
tickets.
And at Vermilionville, $5 at the door. It's real easy.
Okay.
We have films also at the library that are free.
So lots of different ways to experience the films. You can go to your website, cinemaonthebayou.com, and the complete schedule is there, or hopefully you'll be lucky enough to get one of these beautiful little postcards with all of the films on it. Phil, how wonderful that you're here, and welcome back for however many times you've been here. We hope you continue to come.
Thank you.
And visit all your cousins and perhaps make a film down here. But you can meet Phil tomorrow evening at the opening of Cinema on the Bayou at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. Rebecca and Pat, thanks so much for all your work.
Thank you.
Merci beaucoup.
Merci.